Amen. Lord, we consecrate this new term.
Amen.
Lord, of this precious training to you.
Amen.
Lord, to others' eyes, this may be something small and common.
Amen.
Lord, but to us, this is something solemn.
Amen.
And something too critical.
Amen.
Lord, for your work on the earth.
Amen.
For your move in Northern California.
Amen.
Lord, here are 300 brothers.
Amen.
Lord, gathered together month by month.
Amen.
Lord, this is really not a small thing.
Amen.
Lord, we just pray you will give us the inner eyes.
Amen.
Lord, even the spiritual sight.
Amen.
Of just what you are doing on the earth.
Amen.
What is your burden among us in these days?
Amen.
Lord, we consecrate again.
Amen.
Lord, even we make a new vow to you again.
Amen.
We present ourselves as a free will offering again.
Amen.
Lord, to prove your perfect will.
Amen.
Lord, we just pray this morning.
Amen.
That in these next 6 months,
Amen.
You will take us higher. You take us deeper.
Amen.
Lord, you take us to a new place.
Amen.
Lord, even a place we have not been to before.
Amen.
Lord, individually and together.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that none of us will be stuck where we were.
Amen.
We would all forget what is behind.
Amen.
We will all stretch forward.
Amen.
Stretch forward.
Amen.
To what is before.
Amen.
We'd like to respond and answer to your high calling.
Amen.
Lord, call us upward.
Amen.
Lord, call us inward.
Amen.
Lord, in every way, call us into yourself.
Amen.
Lord, we just pray that there would be progress made.
Amen.
Step by step.
Amen.
Level by level.
Amen.
You will take us into your heart.
Amen.
Take us into the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
Lord, we're here, Lord,
Amen.
Under the cleansing of your blood,
Amen.
Under the covering of yourself,
Amen.
But gathered together,
Amen.
Lord, to be perfected by you,
Amen.
To be trained by you,
Amen.
To be adjusted by you.
Amen.
Lord, we want you to have free access.
Amen.
We want you to have free ground,
Amen.
Lord, in anything you want to touch. Lord, whether in the speaking here
Amen.
Or in the receiving here,
Amen.
We all want to give you unprecedented freedom.
Amen.
Lord, be free.
Amen.
Be free in us.
Amen.
Do whatever you want to do in us.
Amen.
Lord, this is not just about our spirituality.
Amen.
It has something about your heart's desire.
Amen.
This is about your church.
Amen.
This is about what you want to see on the earth today.
Amen.
Lord, for that reason,
Amen.
Lord, we just offer you a fresh consecration.
Amen.
Lord, move, Lord.
Amen.
Do something much further, Lord,
Amen.
In each one of us.
Amen.
We pray for all the brothers here.
Amen.
We pray for the eldership everywhere.
Amen.
We pray for every single church in Northern California.
Amen.
We pray for your recovery,
Amen.
Lord, in this part of the state,
Amen.
Even in this part of the earth.
Amen.
Lord, do something.
Amen.
Continue your work of renewal.
Amen.
Continue your work of restoration.
Amen.
Continue your great work of revival.
Amen.
We look to you, Lord.
Amen.
Have mercy on us.
Amen.
That we will render you the full cooperation.
Amen.
Have mercy on us.
Amen.
That there will be nothing held back.
Amen.
There will be not one bit of reservation.
Amen.
Lord, have your way.
Amen.
Amen. Well, brothers, this is the so-called second term of this training that started at the beginning of this year. And I like the idea that we have two terms. Somewhat it is following FTTA, and somewhat it is following the typical education calendar or system. It's not bad. So my heart is that As we're thankful to the Lord for this first term or the first 6 months, we cannot remain there. Amen. We must not just be happy with that. We have to go on. We must advance. That should be our spirit. And for this, as I prayed, we all need a fresh offering of ourselves to the Lord, to singly, you know, personally, and together as one man. I like to just remind all of us that this is a perfecting. This is a training. And I even look to the Lord as we give him more ground, more way in us, that I may also take more liberty and freedom from him to speak to our need and speak to our condition and speak to our situation so that we would not be here wasting time or just doing something in a superficial way, an outward way, or routine way. We have about 300 brothers initially registered, and I don't know in this second term whether that is about the same number that who are continuing, 290, about the same number. I often find in any kind of a conference or trainings and such, maybe about 50% to 70%, hard to say, depend on the group. Sometimes less, that are truly serious. In other words, not all are, and I know that. I know that. Just like in the church life, not all the brothers and sisters are equally seeking or pursuing. That doesn't mean we abandon them or we despise them. That's not my point. My point is that is rather universal and rather standard, that not all in a particular group are that seeking and serious. Now, I don't know what that is, what percentage that is in this group here. But I would be quite disappointed that if we pay all this price, make all this arrangement, had all this fellowship, and yet we're not that serious here. We're not that committed here. By that, I don't mean just attendance. Of course, that is a sign, both here and, you know, weekly. And by the way, I think we did a little bit of a survey, as you know, for this first 6 months. And the results came back roughly this way, that this attendance, you know, this monthly attendance is about a little less than 90% average, on the average. So you put together all six training Saturdays that we had, the average attendance was about 90%, sometimes a little bit more, sometimes a little less. Not too bad. There are always some reason for absence and so on. The weekly attendance is about maybe 10% less than that, maybe about 80%, 81% or so. So 20% on the average do not make the weekly time in the various localities. Well, are these numbers encouraging or are these numbers discouraging? I suppose that depends on your vantage point. I think on the one hand, it is encouraging. It is encouraging. You know, we have this three strike, you're out kind of policy. which is, necessary. We're all human, some incentive or something like that. Even that 81%, I would say it's encouraging. This is from one vantage point. But from another vantage point, it is not that encouraging. One would hope that there should be almost a full attendance, of course, reasonably. And so, brothers, my point here is the attitude. Besides just the attendance, this is just one data point or one, way of measuring our condition in this training. But I'd like to speak to more than attendance. I'd like to speak to our inward attendance, our inward attention, if you will. Not just to me speaking here, but to the things that are presented here. These things, these 36 lessons, took us a lot of time to prepare. And we didn't invent them. We somewhat, curated, I think that is probably an accurate word, curated from the ministries of Brother Nee and Brother Lee, primarily Brother Lee, Brother Witness Lee, into a kind of a more systematized way. I use that word positively. In a form that is like a lesson, like lessons or like classes, if you will. A lot of work there. And I will assure you that you probably cannot do a better job than this. You may, I shouldn't be foreclose that possibility. But my point is, it's not easy. It's not easy. And about all the best of these, the ministry speaking on the subject of eldership, I'll all hear. There are a lot of books by Brother Lee especially on the subject matter. And we gleaned from those books and pick up the most important. And of course, there are a lot of repetition there to put here. Did I not tell you that actually, as we speak, we're in the process now of preparing the next 36 lessons? You may say, goodness, how long will this training be? When will I graduate, when will I be inducted, into the real, into eldership? Well, the actual fact, the actual case is that we will never graduate. We will never graduate. We would always be learning, always be improving. Now, next 36 lessons, and I don't know how we're going to conduct them, in what way, I have no idea, will be even deeper than this 36. I consider these 36 basic. Basic. The next 36 will be more advanced. You go from bachelor to master's to PhD, the more you go, the more specific, right? The more intrinsic you get in your knowledge in whatever field. Well, so I just say this much. Brothers, what if we all have a new consecration to the Lord? By yourself and with your comrades, your colleagues, your brothers in your church, have a new consecration. Even, I would say, this week or this coming week when you begin to digest today's training messages for an hour and a half. How about at least take half an hour to do nothing but consecrate?
Amen.
Do nothing but just consecrate. I just came back from Champaign-Urbana. I don't know whether you are keeping sort of your ears open to what has happened there. Do you know there's a college training last week? Yeah, it's last week in Illinois with 1,800 brothers and sisters, of whom 1,400 at least are actual college students. An unprecedented time in the recovery, at least in this continent. And some of the brothers were there. I think Jim, or I don't know who else, were there. I was there for a few days, the last few days. We talk about to those dear young ones about consecration. And there was a mighty response on their part. And brothers, it is not too much to reconsecrate again and again and again and again. Give yourself to the Lord in a deeper way, in a more thorough way, so that he would have something, he would have the freedom to do what he wants to do in you. I told the young people that it's not about your ability, it's about your availability. Two different things. It's not your ability. It's your availability. Ability means you do something. Availability means God does something in you. So please do this, all right? Now, I say that in a group, usually only a certain number are serious. Then you have a certain number that are, what should I say, just half-hearted. Half-hearted. Then you may have even a certain percentage that who are, I use this word, indifferent. Not even hard-hearted, half-hearted, indifferent, meaning they really don't care. There's always this. And I don't know in this group of brothers which category you belong to. The seeking, some are even the very seeking, or you are half-hearted, just like this, or you are basically indifferent. I don't know. But let me tell you how much you get from a training or meetings like this does not depend on the material in your hands. Does not even depend on my speaking that much. It depends on your attitude. I like to see in the Bay Area, indeed everywhere in the local churches, a new kind of leading brothers, a new kind of eldership would emerge. Not the kind that are contented with the routine. Not the kind that are just doing something in a common way, in a routine way, and be happy with this. But a new kind of eldership with a new kind of attitude, a new kind of condition, and that is an attitude that is seeking. That are serious, that really, really means business. They are respectful of this great responsibility of eldership. They are in fear and trembling that they would fall short of that duty. They beg God always for more mercy, lest they fail to do their job as the Lord would have it, have them do. They are impelled, propelled inwardly to not be happy with just a post or a position of something, of a leading brother, to always learn, always know more. They're always with a heart to receive, to absorb. They're humble, you see. Never prideful and satisfied. Brothers, this is what we should have. They hate any kind of oldness in themselves. They hate to just rest upon their seniority. They are not like this. Well, I'm describing a person. His name is Witness Lee. brothers, do you know what is the Lord's recovery? Do you really know what is the Lord's recovery? I tell you, if you do, that kind of attitude is spontaneous. Even our attitude, our way of facing things in the church life, is a window to our vision, your real vision of the Lord's recovery. We cover in the first 6 months on much on the qualification of an elder, right? The character, the spirituality, you know, and this kind of a thing. The knowledge. Well, you can go through all those things. You can be quite the diligent brother. You can be quite the, you know, you know, in many ways, you're quite qualified even. But I will tell you, if you don't really, really see just what we're engaged in today in the local churches of the Lord's recovery, then even all those kind of qualifications could be just something outward. It may qualify you to be a very good leader in a denomination, in some kind of a group. But the Lord's recovery, as we know it, demands a lot more. It's not easy. I will tell you, it is not easy to take this way. It's a marvelous, enjoyable, right, church life that we've been saved into. And we praise the Lord for it. Much joy, much happiness, much, you know, love and much grace of the Lord. For sure, for sure. And without that supply, we can hardly do anything. But here, I'm talking to brothers who are being trained to serve as leading brothers. I must tell you that to take this way to be properly exercised, to serve in the Lord's recovery adequately, to take the churches and the saints onwards. This is very demanding. This is a hard job. And it involves a price that we have to constantly pay. And we will only pay that price if we see the goal, if we see God's heart's desire. And we will only pay that price if we see the saints, God's possession, God's flock in that light. You know, Jim, I was, you know, there over there in Champaign. I think that night or that morning, Saturday morning, I don't remember. I think Saturday morning, I spoke from Revelation 12 on the man-child, you know, the overcomers. This time their topic is God's age turners. And the age turners eventually are simply the overcomers. So we cover the man-child in Revelation 12, who was being born by that certain universal woman, which is a picture of all of God's people throughout the ages, both the Old and the New Testament, and even, of course, including even the patriarchs. That corporate woman, that is God's people, was pregnant with a child. And that verse says that she was travailing. Now, many of us are fathers and have probably more and more. You know, in the old days, the father just wait in the waiting room. Am I right? See, the old days. No, you know, for a long time, the practice is the father would be there with the, you know, with the mother during the childbirth. And me too, both of my daughters. I mean, that's the only time I thank the Lord I'm not a female. The other times, I do ask the Lord to make me a sister. And I mean that because it's such a great thing to be a proper female in the eyes of God. Well, that's another matter. That travailing, oh my goodness. I use the word the writhing. Writhing, is that the right? Writhing, the writhing. You know what that word means. The twist and turn, and no position is comfortable. The screaming of pain, the suffering that is endured by that mother at that point of delivery. That's already after 9 months of discomfort. But at that moment of delivery, it's unbearable. And that's why today they have this, what they call that kind of a, they have a name for it that's, epidural. And it's almost a must to keep the pain down, etc. Who would go through that? Who would go through that? So anyway, eventually the man-child was born, and at the birth of that man-child, that's when Satan was cast out. When God's corporate people who failed God as a whole gave birth to the overcomers, that would be the ones who what? Fulfill God's original purpose intended for the woman, which the woman failed to accomplish. Satan was defeated. I tell you today, the real warfare is not between Satan and all of God's people. It's not. Today, the warfare is between Satan and the overcomers. Go back and read your book called The Glorious Church again. That's the warfare today. That's the warfare today. Today, Satan is not fighting with just all the Christians. I'm not saying there's no warfare there, but that is not the strategic warfare. The warfare is where the overcomers. That's where the dragon is. He's ready to devour that man-child the moment it is born. He wants to kill that man-child, not give the man-child a chance, because he knows that man-child spells his doom. The Lord's recovery is in the principle of the overcomers. Now you understand why the tremendous warfare that we face in this almost last 90 years. Tremendous. Within and without, and even with us, brothers, day by day, there's a constant warfare. You have to realize, what is the Lord's recovery? The Lord's recovery is here to stand on behalf of that woman, before God, and before, especially, God's enemy. It does not mean every saint in the Lord's recovery will automatically be an overcomer. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that the Lord's recovery is the place that likely where the Lord's overcomers will be produced. With the truth and the life and the vision that is granted to the Lord's recovery, you cannot deny that. It's hard to refute that fact. Here we are, brothers. So what's my point, Jim? After that meeting, that word travail stuck with me this whole week. And I said something that morning, actually. Travail. Travail. This morning, I got up early. I just couldn't sleep. 5 o'clock, whatever. I couldn't sleep. I was just tossing and turning in the bed. And the burden came to pray. To pray. To pray for what? To pray for you. To pray for the churches here. And I will, the footnote there in chapter 12 of Revelation, you go read it. In that travailing, and that woman was travailing. That travailing in birth pangs, that travailing in the footnote, it says, is a travailing of those who are one with the Lord throughout the ages. There has been a corporate travailing in time and space. And he said that primarily that travailing is through prayer. Through prayer. And those of us who have entered into the real prayer knows the deepest prayer or intercession is always in the principle of travail. Not a light prayer. Travailing, groaning, with much suffering, with an undescribable burden, a child that wants to come out but cannot come out. You know what I'm saying? The pain, the difficulty, that's something of life. Well, I'm spending too much time in not getting into the message here. But I feel to say something like this to all of you, so you would grasp just a little bit more of the import of this training and of where you are. And so I like to sometime have just more talks to the serving ones on the subject of travail. Paul says, I travail again until what? Christ is formed in you. He was talking to these Galatians who were begotten by him through the gospel but were distracted by the Judaistic believers. Back to the law. So Paul wrote that epistle and with much prayer, travail, like giving birth again. They were born already. They received the Spirit already. But they turned back to the law as if they have never received the gift of faith and grace. And Christ, they were defrauded. So Paul travailed again until this Christ is formed in every one of them. That formation of Christ in us is what? Is Christ taking shape? Christ being even what? I tell you, grown and even mature. That life of Christ in us. That teaches travailing, and that's for the producing of overcomers. Well, brothers, enough, enough. These next three lessons today are actually crucial. It is taking us to another level. Apparently, it does not talk about the qualification of elders and things like that, but actually, in a much more intrinsic way, it talks about the real qualification of a leading brother. Now, I just hope that all of you, with a heart to pursue the Lord in these things, you would have a heart to read the ministry. And by the way, I just cannot help but to say this. I think it is wrong. It is wrong. And if it's not a shame, I'm using these words in a measured way, that the leading brothers in the church, in a local church, would not be pursuing Christ in this ministry. I just don't know how you can do it. I really don't. I'm not just talking about reading the Bible, okay, which we all need to do. I am talking about this ministry. You are a leading brother in a local church in the recovery, and yet you don't know this ministry, or you have no heart for this ministry. You're unfamiliar with this ministry. And how do you lead the church? I beg you. How? I live and die by the books. You say, well, you drank the Kool-Aid. You're just addicted to this Lee or knee or whatever. You're just gone. You don't know anything else. That's right. I don't know anything else. It's all in the books, my brothers. And I told you before that 50% of what I, of the help I received was from Brother Lee directly, personally, live. The other 50% from his writings of Brother Lee and Brother Nee, whom I've never seen nor heard. You must read these books. And I will give you the list of elders' books to read. It's this thick. I mean, this much. Or maybe more. Have you read them? I have. Repeatedly, not just once. Some of them are falling apart. And whenever I read them again, I've read it before, I still feel as if I've not read it. Oh, I missed that. I forgot about that. How I wish I remembered it, I would not have done such and such. You see what I'm saying? Constantly, constantly just reading and getting the help. I tell you, if you would do this with the brothers who are serving with you, your eldership will be different. I guarantee you. I guarantee you. Even your relationship will be different. Today, why are so many elderships so superficial? So elementary? So outward? Because they don't know the ministry. And then, let me go further. We have these feasts today, am I right? Seven feasts and what have you. Two semi-annual, two conferences, one Chinese speaking, and two iteros. Okay. I have heard now from this angle or that angle people questioning the need for seven feasts. Questioning its contents. Why do we need to do this? It's too much. We can't handle it. Well, I agree with you. It comes pretty rapidly. And actually, even in Irvine, we don't have enough time to go through all the morning revivals. There's just not enough weeks in the year. That's true. That is true. And so we have to be a little bit selective. The Lord knows. But my brothers, not because I'm one of the speakers and so I'm here to kind of defend it or promote it. You forget about that. But brothers, if you have no heart for that, you say, oh, Exodus. They just, the Chinese say they are just frying some cold rice. Some old rice they put together and they make fried rice. You know, fried rice are just old stuff. Like chop suey, it's just, the story is that this guy, this gunslinger come into a Chinese restaurant at the end of the day and demand food. The proprietor say, we have no more food. He pulled out his gun, food or else. So he went to the kitchen, and the Chinese are smart. And he got all the throwaway stuff, and he put some soy sauce on it, cooked it. Out came chop suey, the all-American Chinese dish. It's called leftovers. Well, forget about that. Oh, these are just chop suey, these seven feasts. You know, old stuff. I read, I know what it is. And they just, some brothers just don't have too much time in their hands. You know, they just go throw these a few lines together, and out come a new conference, and out come a new crystallization study, or this or that. We don't need to go there. We don't need that. We know. I read Watchman Nee years ago. Brothers, is this your attitude deep within you? Then why aren't you in the trainings? Why aren't you in the video? Why aren't you pursuing these things? Why aren't you leading the saints into these things? I don't think time is an adequate excuse. I get into them, those messages myself. I have to speak them. I also get into them. I tell you, brothers, those who don't know think they know everything. Actually, you don't know. You think you know. The more you know, the more you feel you don't know much of anything. This is the spirit of the Lord's recovery. Amen. I'm not here demanding you make every training down in Anaheim or you make. I'm not saying that. You have to be selective, you know, where you can go live or what you can do. Only the Lord knows. But I'm talking about where your heart is at, where your vision is at, and where your saints are because of you. Because you are not that way, your whole church is stuck. Your church is stuck. You are in version 1.0 of the Lord's recovery from Brother Nee's time. That's wonderful. That's version 1.0. Today we're in version 9.0. Same recovery. Same goal, that has not changed. Same nature, that has not changed. I'm talking about the advanced understanding of what God's economy is, what the Lord's recovery is. It's 9.0. And where are you? Some of us are back in Eldon. That's what? 5.0. And you're quite happy with this. I'm from Eldon. Well, I'm from Eldon too. But that 5.0 is not good enough for today. For the Lord's return. Then you say, I give up. I resign. Well, maybe you should consider. Oh, you say, you're really that bad. No, I'm not that bad, brothers. I'm not that bad. If anything, I'm a very easygoing man. Sometimes too easygoing. And you know what? I raised up a lot of brothers. And I also failed to raise up a lot of brothers. I failed. And I tell you, in many cases, those who were raised up properly were the ones that I was strong with and hard with. Those who are, it's okay, whatever you like, you ended up problematic. Brothers, I'm just one of you. I'm nobody. But anyway, the Lord has put a little burden within me with whatever small measure that the Lord has graciously afforded me. I must be a faithful servant to you. I got involved with the brothers in Northern California, not in an easy way. I joined their travail, I consider. for something to be given birth in a renewed manner. The renewal of the churches. But that has to start with the renewal of the brothers. And that's why we're here. And so that's why we want to raise up more young brothers. Then I have to be faithful to all of you. And not just give you some routine training, you know, like that. The Lord has so much He wants to do yet in this country and in this area. I like to talk to the brothers this weekend because in my prayer I have some thought, some feeling about the going forward of this next 6 months in line with what the Lord may want to do to renew and advance in the Bay Area, in Northern California. I do not take this lightly. These trainings, not light. Not light. And I hope all of you will be the same. Amen. Will join me in this. It's easy to roll down the hill. It's hard to scale a mountain. Okay, I have about 30 minutes left, 35. Brothers, today is important because today we begin to talk about what you need to see and what you need to know concerning what? Concerning, in lesson 19, this first lesson, God's plan, government and authority, with the emphasis in God's plan. And lesson 20, the next session, on what? On the Lord's recovery. Clear vision of the Lord's recovery. And three, further, not just the Lord's recovery, but the Lord's recovery in life. Too crucial. Too crucial. All right. So I would not have the time to do this thoroughly. Again, if you have the seeking, you would study these things. Now, let me just say this first. I have a book here. This is the last book in the eldership series, all right? And I think 11 is the last book. I think so. Okay, and the first part, Roman 1a of this lesson 19, actually from half of the first chapter of book 11. So you all get a book 11, and we want to give you an assignment. And that is, you must read chapter 1 for this lesson. Only this lesson, lesson 19. Okay? This message, 19, given in 1991. So it's not an early reference. Some of the other things are from the elders' management of the church. That's from the 50s, a little older, an older version of things. This is at least version 8.0, this one. So you go back, okay? And I will tell you, you will not waste your money by buying this book. And you said, just read one chapter. Well, that's just the assignment for today. I tell you, this book is just worth $1 million to me. If you go into the next chapters on the responsibility of the elders and the elders' contact with people, those are all the practical things related to the service of the elders. So you just get this in and get into this. All right, let's go on. And I have to finish in 30 minutes or so. Brothers, to be an adequate elder, you must know God's plan. And when we say God's plan, we mean God's plan for the church. Here, the chapter's name in this book 11 is, What is the Church to God and Christ? Do you know that? What is the church? Not to you. To God, the Father, and to Christ, the Son. You don't know that. And what are you doing leading the church? How are you leading the church? There's a second part in that chapter. And how should the elders be to the churches? Only when you know what the church is to the triune God will you then know how you should be an elder to that church. It's not what you think. You have to join God's heart. You have to know God's heart, God's plan for the church in order to serve as an elder. Okay, let's just go through now the outline. The first thing that the elder should know is God's plan for the church. In order for an elder to manage a church properly, obviously he must first of all know God's desire and plan for the church. He must see what the church is to God and to Christ. Now, the church is something very familiar to all of us. But how many Christians, how many of us talks about, thinks in this way, just what is the church to God? And what is the church to Christ? We must know the church in more than a superficial way. It's not a building, we know that. It's not even just a gathering of God's call-out people, ecclesia, the literal meaning. It's more than that. And you've got to come into the full knowledge of this. What is it? Let's see. Number one, the church is the goal of God's eternal economy, Ephesians 3, 9 and 10. And I don't have time. God has a pleasure. And he worked out an economy to fulfill that desire of his. In himself, that economy, before the foundation of the world. He made it in his divine trinity. I mean, these are things we should know. Am I right? Because every economy has a goal. So God's economy also have a goal. What is that goal? That goal is the church. The goal of God's entire economy is the church. In his wisdom, he devised that economy in order to gain a church which will fulfill his heart's desire. Well, no time. You have to read all of Ephesians, all of Colossians to know this. Do you see the church this way? You say, no, the elders just write checks, choose paint colors on the new meeting hall. What kind of elder? You'll make some announcements or what? You don't know what the church is in God's economy. That's all that God wants. And that you are taking care of it. And you don't know it. Now how do you serve? Let's go on. 2, the church is the good pleasure of God for the heading up of all things in Christ. Through the church as the means. Well, I mentioned there's something called God's good pleasure. Do you know the church is tie to God's heartbeat? Do you know that? You know, I got these texts from some of my younger relatives, and they put these little faces there. What do you call them? Huh? Emoticons, you know, different laugh or cry, whatever. And then recently I got one that has a heart. And this heart, and it's not your heart. That heart looks like it's pumping. Have you seen that? It moves. Brothers, there's a heart in this universe still pumping. Do you get that text every day? Do you get that text every day when you pray? When you meet together as elders in a locality, do you touch that heartbeat? Or are you just doing things? Oh, you know. I know in some eldership, while in the eldership meeting, people are texting, talking about business. Really, really. This is an elders meeting. What is this? That simply tells me what? You have no idea what the church is. You don't. You just are called to be an elder. I'm supposed to meet. I'm here. But I'm very busy. I got a deal coming up. I've got to close. Sorry. Heartbeat? What heartbeat? My heartbeat? Maybe. God's heartbeat? I don't know. I think, me included, in the elders' meeting, we should turn over the phone at the door. Make that a policy. You all agree together. You agree amongst yourselves. You won't die. This is a time to take care of what? Tell me. Elders' meeting. What are you taking care of? Huh? What pain? What are you taking care of? God's good pleasure. And that good pleasure, for that good pleasure, God created the universe and all things, which was subsequently overthrown into a state of collapse, of confusion, of disorder, of chaos by Satan, who fought against God. And now, in order to carry out his good pleasure, the only way is that this whole upside down thing will be reheaded up. And that is in Ephesians 1, 9 to 10. And that heading up of all things in this demolished, O creation, scattered, O creation, is in Christ. But not just in Christ through the church as the means. In other words, today, for Christ to head up the whole universe, it has to start with the church. Amen. Your church. And that church becomes this strategic means of this ultimate heading up. What are we doing in our local church? It may be small, insignificant in the eyes of the world, but if you see this view, brothers, oh, number three, the church is the first fruit. I'm going to just cover page one, by the way. Don't worry about authority and government. I don't have much burden for that. And we cover actually a lot of that already in last time when we were together. Number three, the church is the first fruit of God's creation. This is on the positive side. God wants to gain a new creation, a new man out of the old through the process of organic salvation. Am I right? And the church is the first fruit of that. I cover in my message in Anaheim recently, right, what? The feast. Remember that? One is called the feast of what? But the Pentecost. That is also called the feast of the first fruit. The first fruit started, and then count 50 days, it's Pentecost. The first fruit refers to Christ, typifies Christ, the resurrected Christ, as a wave offering to God. Well, the first fruit is Christ. Yet James, this is in James, have you not read? 1:18, it talks about the church is the first fruit of God's new creation. The whole new creation has to begin with the church. In fact, it is the church. Then the number four, the church has been obtained, redeemed by God with his own blood, is the object of God's love. Here we talk about what is the church, what the church is to God. I will tell you, the church is the object of God's love. You have to see this, brothers, know this, brothers, that God shed his blood, his own blood, God's blood, by Jesus on the cross. Pay the price to redeem it. I tell you, even this should touch you to tears. Do you, brothers, love the church the way God does? Or the church is just a piece of work? The church is just some kind of group that you're leading? What is the church? The church, next point, is the flock of God's possession. As God's possession, allotted to the elders for their care. This church that you are leading is God's flock. And it is God's property, God's possession. And it is allotted to you, the elders, for their care. You are the trustees. You know, you have trusts. You know what is a trustee? The trustee has fiduciary duty to administer that trust according to all the provisions of that trust in a faithful manner in order to, you know, for the sake of the beneficiaries. The elders are not the owners. They're not the settlers of that trust. God settled that trust. You are just the trustee installed to be a steward, to administer it on God's behalf. So these are not your sheep. These are not your saints. These are God's. And you are given the trust to care for them until the Lord comes back. How to be an elder? This is how you're an elder. Okay, next point, the church, as the body, both the body and the bride of Christ, being the object of Christ's love. Now, what is the church to Christ, the Son? It is both the body and the bride. You have to read Ephesians 5 there. Talk about the church is the wife of Christ, and talks about no one hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ also the church. Christ cherishes and nourishes the church as his own body. Now, no one takes care of their body like themselves. No one protects their body like themselves. Do we know that this is how the church is to Christ, so that we would take care of the church with the same kind of care, same level of nourishing and cherishing. Brothers, this is deeper now. It's not just you're diligent, you have some self-control. It's more than that now. Next point. The church is the mystery of Christ. As Christ is the mystery of God, both of them becomes the great mystery. Well, this is something we have not talked about for a long time. Colossians 2, Ephesians 3, about these two mysteries, and Ephesians 5, about this great mystery. I am just concerned. Here is Brother Luke's son sitting here from Nanjing. He surely knows the churches there in China. We have hundreds and thousands of saints in many local churches. I don't visit China that much. But that doesn't mean I have no burden for the churches there. And the saints there. You know what is my burden? My burden is all the leading brothers in the churches there would know these things. They will lead the churches in a different way. Next point. The local churches are the lampstands, the local testimony of Christ. The lampstand is a testimony, meaning a photograph, you know, a reproduction of the real thing. So here we have the triune God. You all know the lampstand with the nature of the Father. It's the golden nature, the Son's form, being the embodiment of the Father, and then the lights, the lamps with the oil, being the expression of the Spirit. So the lampstand is a reproduction of the triune God as that triune God's testimony. Am I? Okay. I go to 10:30, right? Okay, thank you. Brothers, your local church is not just, the church in such and such. No. That is the lampstand. That is a reproduction of God in that locality. Is it? Last point, very important, 9. The church as the body of Christ being uniquely one, both universally and locally. But this is very important. The church is one universally. There's only one church. The real church is the Catholic Church, not that Catholic Church based in Rome or Vatican. I don't mean that. The true one universal church. There are not two churches in this universe, just one. But locally, in our respective places, there also can be only one local church. It's just absolutely what? Logical. Why? Because today we have one Lord, we have one Father, we have one Spirit, we have one faith, we have one baptism. Am I right? This Christ that we have is unique and undivided and undividable. Amen. Read 1 Corinthians 1. So no division should not be in our lexicon, in our dictionary. There's no such thing in the realm of the body of Christ. All divisive things must be terminated, and all elders must see this. Well, brothers, We all need these basic understandings. My main burden actually is discharged. It's already discharged. Will you pursue these things, my brothers? You say, oh, I know them. Well, I'm not so sure. I really am not so sure. How much do you know them? Well, let's just read B and C. I'll just read them. God's desire is to have a body for the expression of his Son. We all must know that from eternity past, God has desired to have a body for the expression of his Son. All the fullness of God dwells in his Son Christ bodily. For this reason, God desires to have a body for his full Christ, so that all the fullness can be manifested in the whole universe. An elder must have a very clear revelation and thorough vision. This is the burden. Revelation, clear revelation, and thorough vision concerning the position, the importance, the process, and the consummation of the church in God's plan. You've got to know everything about what the church is, from A to Z. Only then will he know what the church is that he's managing and what is its position and nature. Only by being under the control of such a vision can there be service according to the standard of such a vision. Without the vision, the people run wild. There are a lot of wild churches out there, local churches out there, because the elders are wild. They manage the church without vision. They administer the church without the control of this governing vision. They're not clear. They do it according to their opinion, their background. And I've seen plenty of this. I just shake my head. Brother, in my heart I say, you don't know the first thing about the church. Almost within me I say, how dare you hear, quote, quote, managing the church of God, this holy thing. That's a shame. Young brothers, we have a burden that you will rise up. And I want to tell you, don't rise up to be like that. Be a different breed. You know. Okay. God desires those who are part of this body to become churches in different localities. God desires that each one of these churches to be a miniature of God's plan for the church. He must know the universal church and he must know the local church. The universal church is simply the sum total of the local churches, and the local churches are simply the local manifestations of the universal church. So, to know these terms are not in the Bible, by the way. You know, universal church, local church. These are just like Trinity, divine Trinity. It's not in the Bible, but the fact is there. So, there is the fact of the one universal church, the body of Christ. There's also the pattern, the practice of the local churches. And don't think the local churches are less important. No, the local churches is the expression of the universal church in every way, except it is in time and space, and there is certain limitation related to it. The brother have just finished chapter one of the history project I'm doing called LA Years. They just wrote chapter one for me to look at. That chapter one is not about LA Years. It's about how the turn of the Lord's recovery from the Far East to this country. And I read that again, and by necessity, there's much speaking or account on that process related to Brother T. Austin Sparks back in the 50s. Many of you may not know that, but let me just sum it up for you. He was one that is most spiritual, and both Brother Nee and Brother Lee admitted that rare it is to find another servant and minister of Christ like Austin Sparks in the early part of the 20th century. And they have gone around the world to meet with various top Christian groups in the West. 1933 is the first time Brother Nee went there. Not to meet with Austin Sparks, but to meet with the brethren. 1938, at the eve of the Second World War, 39, he went again, this time not at the invitation of the brethren, but at the invitation of T. Austin Sparks. And immediately there was an echo there of the East and the West, of the deeper, higher things, spiritual things, and the truth that is, you know, in the Word here. Brother Nee said there's only one ministry on earth that echo ours, and that is the one there, in Honor Oak, a suburb of London. Well, the quick story is that he was invited to Taiwan in 55 and 57 to give conferences to help the saints. The first one was successful, but the second one was problematic because at the second time, Brother Sparks not only minister the spiritual things, he unwisely touched the peripheral things, small things. But one central thing he touched in a way, according to his opinion, is the ground of the church. The ground of the church, which is a very important thing in our practice of the church life to maintain its oneness. And because of that, a rebellion was stirred up in Taiwan, and that broke Brother Lee's heart, that took away his sweet feeling with the work in Taiwan, and even somewhat, I would say, sovereignly of the Lord, motivate him to take a trip around the world to see the situation and to meet with Sparks again in London, which he did for a prolonged period of time before he returned back to Taiwan. And all this is in the year 1958. The point is this, that these two, Brother Nee and Brother Lee, and Brother Sparks, could never come to terms in this matter of the local church. They both are agreeable on the matter of the universal church, no problem. But it is the local church where they diverged. One is more for the ministry, the other is for the church. The last message that Brother Lee gave in Honor Oak, he was asked by Brother Sparks to give that message. And he didn't know what to speak on. And when he stood up and it came to him, Revelation chapter 1, on the seven churches in Asia. And he gave a word that the church is not for the ministry is for the church or the churches. Brothers, there's a big warfare on the matter of the church ground, and I don't have the time, and you need to be familiar with these things. But my point to end is that the local churches today is a very important part of the Lord's recovery's testimony. I would say, without the churches, there's no testimony. The churches today is everything to the Lord. And all our work, all our service, all the co-workers, and everything we do is eventually for the building up of the local churches. In many localities, as golden lampstands. And together, combined in a blended way, they are the the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
I stop here. How about, I think it's good to have some prayer. All right? Right now we have this 10:29. Just have a minute of some prayer.